Today's daf is Nun Vav. We'll review a little bit from Nun Hey and Rebek because it all connects. Refuah Shlema for the week. Or the Kinyan about Racha Frida, Yelmer and Bat Chaya, Daphna Chaya Bat Tzari, Lana Mir Bat Dina Chaya, Chana Michal Bat Freda Hinda, Chana Leah Bat Freda, David Avram Ben Miriam, Chaya Nomi Dvorah Bat Shulamit, Vili Loi Nishmat Yosef Ben Tzvi Akoin Ben Rachel, and Ozar Ben Shim Ben Eliezer, Yitzchak Halevi B'chana. Okay, so there was... to figure out how far we have to go back. Okay, let's go back to the bottom of Nun Hey Amud Aleph just for a minute. It says three lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hametzar v'chatzav mafzikim b'nechse agir. Okay, this means that a border, some sort of border in between two fields, or a chatzav, which was a type of plant that they would plant to demarcate borders. It's a plant that goes straight up. I think I read also that the roots go straight down as opposed to the side, so that also kind of helps it to separate and means that it's not getting, it's not getting nutrients from either side. Also, if these things are nichse hager, so they demarcate a border. Now, remember, what's the issue here? If somebody, we had a whole machlok at Rav and Shmuel, and we're going to see at least one way of interpreting this is that Rabbi Yochanan later on is going to disagree, which was. If you remember, if you hoe a little bit, and then Rav said you get the whole field, and Shmuel said you only get the area that you hoe, and then they said, what if there's no border around? So here we're saying, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Meitzar and the Chatzav create a border. So we make it a bordered city. Soon they're going to ask, what if there is no border? And then we're going to see, well, didn't we discuss that earlier? Wasn't that the Machloka Rav and Shmuel, if there's no border? And one of the responses is, well, they wanted to know Rabbi Yochanan's opinion about this. He didn't necessarily agree with them about it. The problem is, obviously, they should have mentioned him earlier when we brought it up. So it's a bit of a strange thing, but okay. So he says that the Meitzar and the Chatzav are mafzikim b'nechse agir, but then he says, le'inyan pe'a v'tshuma lo. Okay, but for pe'a and tshuma purposes, it doesn't create a hefsek. So then they had to describe, well, what's the issue? Okay, ditnan, I'm just skipping a little bit. Ditnan, elu mafsikim lepe'ah, hanachav ashluli, v'derach harabim, v'derach hayachid, v'shvil harabim. Okay, so then they get into pe'ah. Then we're going to skip a little bit. We're going to get to the tumah issue, okay, because that's what we're in the middle of here. Or maybe we already finished the tumah, right? Then they're going to get to Shabbat. Okay, so let's leave the tumah aside also. The issue is going to be here at the end. They say aval l'shabbat lo. Okay, so there was this mission that said hanichnas l'bikah b'yamot hagshamim. Okay, let's read here for a minute. If you go into fine, this is talking about the tumah. So I guess we'll go through this a little bit. Hanichnas l'bikah b'yamot hagshamim. We're on the fourth line of Nun Hey Amud Bet. If you go into bikah during the rainy season, v'tuma b'sadeh plonit, and you know that there's tuma in a particular field, v'amar halachti l'makom alaz ve'eni yodeh nechnasti lo tomakom ve'im lav. I don't know if I went into the area that had tuma or not. So Rabbi Eliezer mitaher v'chachamim mitam'im. Why is Rabbi Eliezer mitaher? Because he said, Shayar Rabbi Eliezer omer, safek bi'ah tahur, safek magah, safek bi'ah tahur, safek magah tuma tameh. He says, if it's suffix, whether you even went into the field. Now, here the assumption is that what? If the field is demarcated by the, if there's a border in between the, there's a big field, let's say, a big open area. We know there's tumah in one of the areas. Or we know there's tumah in this general area. But then there was a border between the two sections. So now we end up with a sveik sveika. Suffix, whether you went into the area, since there was a border between them, this type of border, we consider it two separate fields leading into tumah, according to Rabbi Eliezer, which means that it was a suffix whether you even went into the area where the tumah was. And then secondly, even if you went into the area where the tumah was, it's suffix whether you came in contact with it or not. So therefore, he's going to rule sveik sveika and tahur. But suffix magat tumah, but if we know you went into the area where the tumah was and we just don't know whether you touched it or not, then you're going to be tameh. Aval l'shabbat lo. Okay, but now we say, but it's not the case for Shabbat. Okay, so now... And by the way, chachamim are mitam'im because they say we view this all as one safek. Did you come in contact with the tumah? We don't view it as two different sfeikot. Now the issue is, Rav Amar afilu le'inyan Shabbat. So now the issue is, we don't understand what's the issue for Shabbat of two rishuyot, and that's what we're going to figure out. Okay, remember, the issue is, there's a big area where there's, let's say, a chatzav in the middle. Does that separate into two or not. So according to what the Gemara says now, l'shabbat lo, but Rava disagrees and says even l'inyan shabbat. Okay, so now, what's this l'inyan shabbat? D'tanya, hotzi chatzi grogeret, l'rashid harabim. If you remember, we learned shabbat way, way back. We learned that in order to be chayev in the malach of hotza'ah, which is hotza'ah from Rashud HaYachid, the Rashud HaRabim, or Arba Mabur, you know, taking something Arba Mabur to Rashud HaRabim, or moving it from, you know, there's all different kinds of areas that are problematic, either Rashud HaRabim to Rashud HaYachid, etc. Then there were cases like a Karmelit, which is only Asur Midrabanan. Okay, it's like a Rashud HaRabim, it's a big open space that's more public, but it's not like Rashud HaRabim, it doesn't have all the criteria, or it could be also the water is a Karmelit. That is Asur Olam Midrabanan, we're going to see in a minute, that's going to come up. There's something called a Makom Ptur, which is an area within the Rashud HaRabim, which is 10 tefachim tall and 4 by 4 in terms of width and length, and that's going to be also a place, it's called a Makom Ptur. Okay, within Rashud HaRabim, if you were to put something on there, there's all different issues about whatever, but that's called a Makom Ptur. Those are the four Rashuyot, Rashud HaRabim, Rashud HaYachid, Makom Ptur, and Karmeli. So if you take out a Chatzi Grogeret to Rashud HaRabim, Vihinicha. Now, what's the issue? In order to be chayav the malach of hotza'ah, you have to take out a certain amount of something. There's different amounts for different items because the issue is that it has to be something of significance. If it's a teeny little crumb that you would never use for anything, you're not chayav in hotza'ah midoraita because you didn't take out anything of significance. So the shear that we're discussing here is a grogeret, okay, which is a date pit. I think it's of a date, if I remember correct. Or a fig? No, figs don't have pits. A dried fig?
Half a dried fig.
All right, it's a fig. So it's half a dried fig, right? It's not the pit, it's the fig. So, hotzi chatzi grogeret l'rashid harabim, vihinicha, v'chazar v'hotzi chatzi grogeret acheret, b'halem echad, chayav, b'shnei halemot patur. Okay, now we have to get into a whole different issue, which is, generally when they talk about these, they talk about someone who did it b'shogeg, and is he chayav a korban chatat or not? If you do something with shogeg, it means that you forgot it was Shabbat or you forgot that it was asked you to do this. So in order to be chayav chatat, you have to do a full shiur of something that you would have been chayav skila for. So let's say you did half an act and then someone said, it's Shabbat. And you said, oh, I can't believe it. I forgot it was Shabbat. And then a few minutes later, you do it again and forget that it's Shabbat. Okay, or you forgot that it was Usher and someone says, hey, you know, that's Usher. And you say, oh, I didn't realize. And then you do it again, and then again, but you did it b'shogeg the second time. Somehow, your mind wasn't working so well. You forgot that it was Usher, even though they just told you it was. Somehow you forgot, or made a mistake again. That's called shnei ha'elimot, okay? Then you're not chayav korban chatat, because you, right, you did a half of a shear each time, and they don't join up, okay? Likewise, by the way, if I remember correctly, you do behele mechad, you forget, and you do something, a full act, you're chayav a korban chatat, and then 5 minutes later you do it again, you have to bring another korban chatat, because you're chayav on each helem. Okay? So now, this time though, each one wasn't enough, right? So if you did a chatzi grogeret and a chatzi grogeret, each time you took from your house, let's say, to Rashud HaRabim, and no one reminded you in between that you were chayav. So chayav. Okay? Then you're chayav achatat when you find out. But b'shnei halemot, if each one was, you were reminded in between, and then you say, oh, I can't believe, whatever, and then you go on. So you obviously don't have to say, oh, I can't believe it's Shabbat, right? That was just what you can imagine happening. If it's b'shnei halemot, then you're going to be patur. Rabbi Yossi Omer, and Yehuda gets our Shabbat issue, b'he'elem echad b'reshut echad chayav b'shtei reshuyot patur. Not only in order to be chayav does it all have to be b'he'elem echad, but it has to be that you took it out b'reshut echad. Okay? Now, it sounds like what he's saying, but this isn't going to be what he's saying, that you have to take it to the same reshut harabim. Okay? He's not exactly saying that. Okay? But what's he saying? It has to, well, he sort of is saying that, but okay, we'll explain it. We're going to have three explanations to what Rabbi Yossi meant, and the third one is going to connect our issue. So we have to hold off a minute. Remember, we're trying to figure out where we have this inyan of chatzav is or isn't l'inyan Shabbat, separate rishuyot. Okay, so now, Amar Rabba, v'hu sheyesh chiyuv chatat b'nehem. In order to be considered two separate rishuyot, what has to happen? here's your house, let's say, your Rishita Yachid, okay? Then, outside your house, there's Rishita Rabim, okay? But the Rishita Rabim is made up of, there's two sides to Rishita Rabim, and there's a Rishita Yachid that's in between the two. Okay, so there's Rishita Rabim on the right, a Rishita Rabim on the left, and there's a Rishita Yachid that separates the two of them. And you bring a Chatzi Grogera to one section of the Rishita Rabim, and then you bring a Chatzi Grogera to the other side of Rishita Rabim. Those are considered two different sections because there's what they call a Chiyuv Chatat between them. What does it mean there's a Chiyuv Chatat between them? It means that if they were to walk from one to the other, they'd pass through an area, right? Let's say they carry the Chatzi Grogera. What's the issue? You want to get your full shear to one side. So now, since in order, let's say you got half here and half here, so now what would you have? In order to join the two, to have a full shear, you'd have to walk through an area that if you walk through this Rishita Yachid carrying your item and put it down there, you'd be chayav chatat. So therefore, these are considered two separate Rishuyot, and they're not viewed as one whole entity, even though they're both Rishita Rabim. So if you bring Chatzi Grogera to one Rishita Rabim, Chatzi Grogera to the other Rishita Rabim, if there's something mafsik b'nehem that's mechayev you chiyuv chatat, then they're considered two different rishuyot.
Regardless of how many amot you walked.
Right, right. We're really talking about not carrying a rishut arabim. We're talking about moving something from a rishut yachid to a rishut arabim. Right, I confused you a little by bringing that up before. I shouldn't have brought it. Okay. But aval karmelit lo, but if the inner part between them that separated was a karmelit, that wouldn't make a difference. Okay, and obviously, if it was some sort of border between the Rishita Rabim, that wouldn't matter either. So let's say there's some area that's a Karmelit in the middle of this Rishita Rabim. Since it's only Asur Midir Rabbanan, that's not enough to separate. If you move from a Rishita Rabim to a Karmelit, it's only Asur Midir Rabbanan, not Asur Midir Oraita. It's not considered two different Rishiyot Midir Oraita. So therefore, you would view it all as one whole. It wouldn't demarcate the properties as two separate things in order to patru you from the korban chatat in this case. Abaye amar afilu karmelit. Abaye says, no, a karmelit is significant enough, even though it's only asur midir rabbanan, it is asur midir rabbanan. And therefore, we're going to say that even a karmelit separating causes these to be considered two different rishuyot. Aval pisla lo. But a pisla, which the Rashbam explains, either a chatichat eitz or an amud, okay, which isn't a makom p'tur, it's not gavoa yud, and ein rochav arba al arba, okay, or it could be gavoa yud, but not rochav arba arba, whatever, okay, have one or the other, meaning it's not a makom p'tur. If there was something like that in between the rishuyot, that wouldn't be count as a separation. So you would need it to be either a rishuta yachid, according to Avaye, or a karmelit. Comes Rava, okay? Rava said, remember before, Rava said, afilu l'inyan Shabbat. Now here comes Rava, and what does he say? The Rava Amar, according to Rabbi Yossi, who said, behele mechad b'rishut echad chaya b'shtei rishuyot patur, what's his definition of shtei rishuyot? Afilu pisla. He says, even a chatichat eitz, that would be enough to demarcate these as two separate properties, and if you brought into one Rishita Rabim, and you brought a half a Grogera into one, and a half a Grogera into the other, those two wouldn't combine to be Mechayev or Korban Chatat. So he has the broadest definition of how we demarcate property here, Le'inyan Shabbat, and according to him, if you say Afilu Pisla, then obviously this Chatzav, or this Meitzar, is going to count as separating the two areas of Rishita Rabim, also Le'inyan Shabbat. Okay, so now we got to our point. Va'az de Rava l'tame, and Rava goes l'shitato. De'ama Rava, Rishut Shabbat ki Rishut Gitin dame. Rishut Shabbat counts the same as Rishut Linyan Gitin. What's the issue for Linyan Gitin? So if you recall, we had a case a long time ago. Husband wants to give a get to his wife. So what does he do? She's not there, and he wants to give it to her. So he gives her his, remember, he could put it into her property, but let's say she doesn't have property or her property's not there. So what does he do? He gives her, as a gift, his own property. He's like makineh his land or an area in his land to the woman. And then he throws the get into that area. And that can count. He can basically give her the property and then throw the get into that property. But what if that property, there was a beam or something in the property? And he threw it and it landed on the beam. So now he lent her the property. Okay, let's say he lends it to her. That's usually what happens because he didn't really sell it to her. But he lends her the property And well, the truth is, it could say here, the Rashbam quotes it. Okay, so if he was makne the chatzir to her, I guess you could be makne even as lending it, right? You say it's yours right now. And it fell on the pisla, she's not megureshet, because it's considered its own space. It's not considered part of the land. So likewise here, he said, right, Rava in another place said, that Shabbat is like Gittin, where an amud, or likewise a chatzav, or some sort of meitzar, a border, is not considered part of the land. If it's not considered part of the land, then what's it doing? It's creating a border and separating these into two separate properties. Okay, so that's just a support of what he says here. Okay, that was all to explain, right? We started with the statement of Rabbi Yochanan that Rav Asi gave us, which is, HaMetzar v'chatzam v'psikim v'nechzei ager, aval inyan pe'a v'tumah lo. Then we have Rava, right? There was a machloket, whether this applies also to Shabbat, not to Shabbat. And now we're back to our basic issue, and we're going to ask the question I said we're going to ask, I already said in the beginning. Ein sham lo metzer v'lo chatzav mai. What if there's no border or there's no chatzav? Then what happens when somebody comes to do a chazaka b'nechzei hager? So like I said before, one explanation is they want to know what does Rabbi Yochanan hold about this machloka. We already saw of Rav Shmuel, if you remember, Rav and Shmuel had the machloka, we said earlier today, about the hoe. If somebody hoes one little bit, according to Rav, he acquires the entire field, if it has a border. Shmuel said he just acquires that little area. Then we said, according to Rav, what if it didn't have a border, right? According to Shmuel, obviously, if it didn't have a border, he still only acquired the other area. And what do we say, right? She'ena mesuyamet b'mitzareh was at the top of Nun Dalid. So Rav Papa said, and this is going to create the problem, right? The furrow, the two rows, right, where the shore goes, right? Then that's how much he gets. Okay, so now, which we had a bunch of different explanations about that, what that meant. So now the problem, okay, so let's set it up as if now they're just asking, well, according to Rabbi Yochanan, what would you say if it doesn't have a border? So I mentioned one problem about it is, it should have been mentioned there, if already we were having a machloka, Rav and Shmuel, they should have added Rabbi Yochanan. And another problem is, in 1 minute, Rav Papa's going to explain what it is exactly. And Rav Papa already explained by Rav what it is. He said it was the furrow, right, and the two rows. So the answer to that, I'll already answer before we see it inside, is that he was explaining Rav Shita, and here he's explaining Rabbi Yochanan Shita. It's not that Rav Papa's contradicting himself, but he's just explaining different people's opinions, and then that's okay. A second option is to say, the Machloka Rav and Shmuel was specifically about hoeing. If you put in your hoe into the ground, does that count or not? You know, you hit it into the ground. Here it doesn't say what kind of chazaka you're creating. So some people say that maybe they're asking, what if you're doing a different type of chazaka in Nichzei Hager? That was specific to hoeing. Here we're not talking about hoeing, we're talking about other types of chazaka, which is the benefit of that approach is it doesn't say anything about hoeing here, so it makes sense to say that. And that explains why we didn't bring up Rabbi Yochanan there. The problem is it doesn't really say which type of chazaka would it be. There's so many different types of chazakot, and then it gets complicated how you're going to distinguish between different types of chazakot that you're making. So that's just throwing out there the different opinions. So, Ein Sham Lo Metzer V'Lo Chatzav Mai, Perish Rabbi Marinus Mishmo, Rabbi Marinus explained in Rabbi Yochanan's name, Kol Shenikret Al Shmo, if the whatever's called in that person's name, if everybody knew that this is the field of the ger who died, so wherever people claimed, you know, wherever everybody knew, if you stepped on this part and they said, oh yeah, that's the field of so-and-so, and you went to that part, that's the field of so-and-so, wherever, right, so if it didn't have a border, but the assumption is that people just knew where the borders were anyway. If that's what they called in his name, then that's what you would acquire. Okay, obviously, if nobody really knew and was familiar with the property, then you're going to have a problem. And then I guess you're just going to get the very small area that you created a chazaka on because there's no way to prove it otherwise. So, hechi dami. So what's this case exactly of kol shenikret al shmo? Amara papa dekarule be garguta deplanya. Okay, where they called it the field that he would have, that he irrigated from his boar. Okay, that this is the field that so and so irrigated with his well. Okay, now this, by the way, the ones who say that this is a different kind of chazaka, there's another explanation based on this, which is that maybe there's a difference between irrigated fields that are irrigated through wells and fields that are irrigated through rainwater, and that this is specifically talking about fields that are irrigated through wells, because that's what you see. If they call it, this is the field that was irrigated by the boar of Ploni, then from the well of the sky, then you can say this whole field is his. If not, then you go back to the machloka Rav and Shmuel, if there is no boar. So that's another possibility. As I said, it's quite complicated. Nobody, you know, there's lots of different explanations about how exactly, what exactly is meant here. Yatev Rav Acha bar Avya kameja Rabbi Asi. This Rav Acha bar Avya goes in front of Rabbi Asi. V'yatev v'ka'amra mishmeja Rabbi Asi bar Chanina. And he says in the name of Rabbi Asi, the son of Chanina, Chatsuva mafsik b'nichsei hager. Right? This sounds like what we were talking about, the chatzav. He says that the chatzav is mafsik b'nichsei hager. It makes a border. Again, for the purposes of creating chazakeh, it would mean that anything within that border would be considered yours. My chatzuva, Amar Rav Yehuda Amarav, Shebo tichem Yehoshua liYisrael et haaretz. Here it sounds like not what is a chatzuva, but why is a chatzuva? And here we get our answer. Why does chatzav specifically work? And from here we're going to get into a bunch of different things about Yehoshua, hence the maps on the table. That this is what Yehoshua used to create the borders around the Shvatim. He planted this chatzav. It sounds like Yehoshua walked around the land, right? Planting chatzavim, or maybe he instructed people, right? More likely, to plant this chatzav plant to demarcate the borders of the Shvatim. Okay, so now, the Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, now that we're already talking about Yehoshua, so now we're going to say, he's going to say a few more things, Rav Yehuda, in the name of Rav, about Yehoshua. Lo mina Yehoshua, ela ayarot ha'omdot al ha'gvulin. When Yehoshua, if you notice in Sefer Yehoshua, there's all those long parakim which talk about all the names of all the cities. Now it happens, it's not all the names of all the cities. I didn't check this, whether this is 100% accurate or not. So if anybody wants to, they can. But according to the Gemara, which of the cities that are listed? It's the ones that are on the borders of Israel and the borders of the tribes. Okay, so that he specifically listed, which makes a lot of sense. He's going to list all the border cities so that then once you know the border cities, so you know obviously everything within them. It would be interesting to check if that's really the case, that there aren't ones listed that are in the middle of a Shevet. And if there are, then you could say at least he did at least the ones on the border, maybe added a few more that were important for whatever reason, but you could explain it like that. Another thing about Yehoshua, Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, or this is more about Moshe as compared to Yehoshua. Now we're going to talk about borders. Kol sheher'ah wakadosh baruch hu l'moshe chayav b'maaser. Everything that God showed Moshe, okay, that they were going to inherit. Okay, now what's the assumption here? It's not what was listed in Devarim as borders of Israel. It's what Hashem showed Moshe when he went up to the Har, right? He goes up, and Hashem says, right, go look, but Shama, right, you're not going to go there. And that area, whatever he showed Moshe up there, okay, it's a matter of how good the view was that day, how clear it was, right? Whatever Hashem showed him is Chayav and Maaser. That's Chayav and Maaser. Okay, when we come to Trumot and Maaserot, we've learned before that for different issues, there's different boundaries. So now he's saying that in terms of Maaser, it's specifically the things that Hashem showed Moshe. Now, this is obviously very complicated. Nobody knows what happened up there. Nobody knows how much he saw. So obviously we're going to have a three-way machloket here about what's not included. Okay, my lafuke. What are we not including in this? Kini, knizi, v'kadmoni. Okay, so they know now what it is, but we don't know what this means exactly. Okay, so the kini, the knizi, and the kadmoni. Okay, if you look in the Rashbam on Chayav v'Maaser, dehem hem sheva amemim haktuvim b'chol makom. Avalkeni, knizi, v'kadmoni, shenitnu la'avram avinu b'en abtarim. These were areas that Avram was promising the brit b'en abtarim, but they're not the sheva amim that Moshe was told to basically conquer. So he's saying that God showed Moshe the Sheva Amim, but he didn't show him some places that were listed in the Brit Bein Abtarim to Avraham that they were going to inherit, but that's not part of it, okay? So now, if those places were conquered, they're going to be Pturim Min Hamaser. So now the three way machloka comes in as to what is the land of the Keni, the Knizi, and the Kadmoni. So Tanya, Rabbi Meir Omer, okay, well, it's not so much going to help us, okay? It's going to help us a little bit, but still, we're not going to understand 100%. I'll suggest some suggestions that the Koran explained. They're pretty good at explaining these things. Rabbi Meir Omer, Naftucha, Arva'a, Vishalma'a. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Har Seir, Amonu Moav. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ardiskim, Asya, Vaspamya. Okay, so let's talk about what these are. So Naftucha Arava'a Vishalma'a. Okay, here, I'll read you the note here, or I'll paraphrase. Okay, so the note here in the Koran says that the precise identification of these nations is somewhat unclear. But from the parallel text, it would appear that Naftucha is another name for the Nabataeans, which switches the pay and the bet, right? You know, right in Aravit, right? There is no pay, it's all bet. So it would be the Nabataeans. According to Josephus, Arava is Arabia, which is southeast of Eretz Israel, which are the and some of the Jewish areas of the Eiver HaYarden, okay, on the Jordan side. Shalama is also one of the Nabataean nations, Salamoi. It doesn't say here where exactly that is. Okay, Rabbi Meir's opinion is a little more easy to find because Ammon and Moab are on the map here, right? We know where they are. So Ammon and Moab are on the other side of the Yam HaMelech, basically where Jordan is today.
It's Rabbi Yehuda.
Sorry, Rabbi Yehuda says that? Okay. Sorry, Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Har Seir Ammon and Moab. Okay, so that's more on the Jordanian side. Okay, you can look at these maps if you want. And then the Ardi scheme, Asya and Aspamia. Oh, 1 second, I wanted
Aspamia
to say.
Spain.
I know, so we'll get to that in 1 minute. Okay. Let's see one more thing here. They say that, right, Rabbi Meir in Shalma'ah, they're saying that those are areas that are south of Israel from the Dead Sea to Eilat. It's more south from Ammon and Moab. Ammon and Moab are a bit more north. So according to the first opinion, it's more south of there. Okay, plus, what?
Edom.
Okay. And then Rabbi Yehuda goes a little farther north. We're talking about really the where Jordan is today, but not so far north because that was already conquered by from Sichon and Og. Moshe had already conquered the part even further north of that. So that for sure was part of Israel. And this last opinion is a very odd opinion because if you say, first of all, Aspamia we've seen before is Spain. Here they don't translate it as Spain. That would be quite far to even suggest that, right? To say Lafuke, it means that that was promised in Brit Ben Abtarim. That's quite far to say. So they say Aspamia refers to, according to this, Apamia in northern Syria, okay, or perhaps a similarly named city on the eastern side of the Euphrates, which is already a lot closer. And this whole opinion is more based in Syria. They say that that Ardiskis is Aram Damesek, okay, which you can see if you look on this map. Aram Damesek is up here, okay. And then Asia, they say, is Asia Minor, which we looked at before class, which we would say is more Turkey, okay?
The lower base of Turkey,
okay? The western edge, actually, of Turkey, which is interesting also. That's pretty far. Okay, so again, you're not chayav maaser on those properties, again, depending on how, right? So what's interesting is there's different interpretations how far these areas are from Eretz Yisrael Bichlal. Everyone agrees they're not chayav maaser. It's just a matter of, you know, whether you think that they were part of the Brit Ben Abtarim, how far the Brit Ben Abtarim actually went. It's very interesting. Okay, new Mishnah. Now we're going to go into Edim Zomim. What are Edim Zomim? Edim Zomim are Edim that, right, they come and they testify, and then two people come and say, you couldn't possibly have testified about this because we were with you and we blah, 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 and you couldn't have been. So now we're going to talk about, there's a few halachot about Edim Zomim. Number one is, what punishment do they get? They get the same thing they tried to do to somebody else. But now, you have to think about, what if they testified about part of something, and someone else testified about another part of something? And in our case, it's going to be Shnei Chazakah. Let's say each group testified about 1 year. Okay, so you have three groups, they testify each about 1 year. Now there's another thing, which is, in order to get the punishment, if there's groups of witnesses that each kind of built up the let's say there's different, there's a bunch of mitzvot that have different sections to it, like Gneva u'Mechira. If you kidnap, okay, in order to be chayav in kidnapping, the death penalty, it has to be that you stole and you sold. So if you have two Edim that said you stole and two Edim that said you sold the child, the person, right? Kidnapping, you always think of a child, but the person. So let's say one group became Zomimim, but the other didn't. Since the first group, let's say, said they stole, the guy wouldn't have gotten the death penalty if it was just them. So we don't apply the punishment until all the Edim are Zomimim. OK? Okay, so that's what's something that's important to, right? Not only that, but let's say one ate zomim, one became a zomim and the other one didn't. In a basic case, okay, let's take it on an even simpler level. Let's say two of us came to testify. One of them was said, Imanu Ayiten. So the Eidut is canceled because one Eid is knocked out. The other one is still there, but one Eid doesn't do anything. However, since he couldn't have done it by himself to get the person punished, so he doesn't get the punishment of Kasher Zaman. Okay, so he's obviously knocked out of being an Eid, but he doesn't get punished of Kasher Zaman. Okay, so now we're going to see a weird case. Two people testified that he took the produce of the property 3 years. Here's a classic case. So two come forward and say, I saw this guy was taking the produce of the land for 3 years. Turns out they were zomimim. They have to pay him the whole value of what they were trying to get him, right? Their original owner, they'd have to pay back because they were trying to claim that this someone else owned the property. So they have to pay back the guy the value of the whole property.
The witnesses.
That's their punishment. But what if you have shnayim barishona, shnayim bashniyah, v'shnayim bashlishit? Okay, let's say two testified about the first year, two testified about the second year, two testified about the third year. Mishalshim b'nehen. They each pay a third. Okay? Because they're all zomimim, but each one only testified to a third of the testimony. So therefore, you look at the whole thing together and you split it to thirds. Shlosha achim. Now we have a different thing, which is you have three brothers. Now three brothers can't testify together, okay? But let's say shlosha achim ve'echad mitzterefi mahen. Let's say each year you have different testimonies for each year. So the first year you have brother number one. Okay, we'll call the brothers one, two, and three, and we'll call the other guy person number four. So in year one you have number one and number four testifying together. Year two, you have number two and number four testifying together. And year three, you have brother three with number four testifying together. So brother four is testifying about all the years. Okay, so now what do you have? You have three separate...
He's not a brother.
Sorry. Person four. Thank you. Person four, unrelated. Okay, he testifies about all the years. And the brothers each testify about a separate year. So according to this, haray elu shalosh eduyot. These are considered three separate testimonies, and they're acceptable in court. Because even though each brother, you need the whole thing to combine to work together, but each brother testified with somebody else who was legitimate for them to testify with, fair and square. By the way, it could have been four, five, and six also. It could have been three random people. That's also fine. But it means that since each one is viewed separately, that's fine. However, hein edut achad lahazama. But if they all became zomimim, then you would view it all as one whole. So it's sort of separate, but it's sort of together, because they're viewed as one whole for hazama. So now the Gemara tells us, matnitin de lo ki Rabbi Akiva. By the way, we've learned this opinion of Rabbi Akiva before, we'll see soon. Titanya ama Rabbi Yossi, kishalach Abba Chalafta etzel Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri lomod Torah. Okay, so he starts to tell us Rabbi Yossi that when Abba Chalafta went to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri to learn Torah, and va'amrila, some people say that Rabbi Yossi said that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri went etzel Abba Chalafta. It wasn't clear who was the teacher, who was the student here, lomod Torah. Amar lo, whoever was the teacher, said to him, Haresha achlas shana rishona b'fnei shnayim, shniya b'fnei shnayim, shlishi b'fnei shnayim mahu. Sorry, the student asked the teacher that, or maybe actually he just went there to learn. Maybe it's not clear that one is a teacher and one is a student. But when the person went to the other, he asked him, what if somebody eats, right? Somebody testifies about the first year, somebody testifies about the second year, a different group testifies about the third year, would that count? Amar lo, harezo chazaka. Yeah, that can create a chazaka. Forget about zomimim. Right now we're just talking about testimony. Amar lo, afani omer kain. So the teacher, so the other person who came says to him, I also say this. Ela, she Rabbi Akiva cholek b'davar zeh. But Rabbi Akiva disagrees with this. Why? Shaya Rabbi Akiva omer, davar velo chatzi davar. Rabbi Akiva says, if you remember, we learned this, Shnayim Edim Yakum Davar, it has to be a whole and not a part, which means that each of these testimonies, again, whether they're brothers, whether they're not brothers, that doesn't matter to us right now. If different people testified about each year, and all together we say that's a full testimony, no, that's each one testifies about a chatzi davar. Here, chatzi obviously doesn't mean half. Here it means a third. But a part of a something. And al pishnayim edim yakum davar. each group of witnesses has to testify about a whole thing. And this doesn't work because each is just testifying about 1 year. So basically, we can see that our Mishnah doesn't follow Rabbi Akiva's Shita. Okay? That's what the Gemara started with. Manitin deloka Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva said, this is davar velochatzi davar, and it doesn't count. So now they're going to say, well, Rabbanan, who say this in our Mishnah, hi, davar velochatzi davar my avdele. What do they do with davar velochatzi davar? If they think that this counts, how could this count? So now, what do they do with davar velochatzi davar? So now they're going to bring a case of a different case, which is shnei simanim. In order to testify that a woman is not a minor anymore, you can testify that she has two hairs. Now the question is, what if one group of witnesses testifies about, or what? Okay, we're going to have two different options here. So what's a davar velochatzi davar? So let's go through it first. Ilei malami ute echad omer achat begabav echad omer achat bekresa. It can't be a case where one witness comes forward and says, I saw a hair on her back. And the other witness comes and says, I saw a hair on her abdomen. By the way, some people say this is just a euphemism. It doesn't mean back and abdomen. It means areas in her private parts. But anyway, well, however we say it. So one says, I saw it on her back, and one says, I saw it on her abdomen. So that is not only a chatzi davar, each one testified only about a part, but each one also was a chatzi edut. It wasn't even a full testimony. That for sure can't be davar velo chatzi davar. Ela lemeute, because that would be obviously excluded. You wouldn't need a drasha for that. Ela lemeute shnayim omrim achat begabav, shnayim omrim achat bekresa. It's to talk about a case where two said we saw a hair on her back, two said we saw a hair on her abdomen, and that would be a davar velo chatzi davar. So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar. So the question is, right, before we go on, what's the difference between that, okay, and our case? Why is that different from our case? The Gemara takes it as obvious it's different. But the Mepharshim all try to figure out that Rabbanan would hold that this is not Davar Velochatzi Davar. Each one testified about a full year. There, each one testified about one siman, and we can't put one and one together. Right? Here we say 1 + 1 + 1 = 3, right? We have 3 years. There, we don't say 1 siman + 1 siman = 2 simanim, and clearly she's a boger. So now, what's the difference? So the different opinions given, one opinion is to say that the difference is, one second, that here, each is testifying about a full unit of time that they saw during that year. They saw a full thing during that year. The Echad Begabav, Echad Bekresa, they only saw one siman. And they could have seen both, because the two simanim were there at the time, or supposedly were supposed to be there at the time, and they didn't see both. In other words, the two witnesses here saw everything they were supposed to see in that period of time, whereas they didn't see everything they were supposed to see in that period of time. They only saw one. It's not a full testimony. Some people say also there that one siman dafka proves the opposite of what they're trying to prove. If you come and testify about one siman, that means it was only one siman and it wasn't two. It a little bit connects to the first opinion, but it's different. It's saying, whereas 1 year is testifying, so again, you could say, well, 1 year also doesn't. First of all, 1 year is a full testimony, because what would happen if nobody testified to more than 1 year? Then what would happen based on their testimony? You could, remember we saw this? You can make the guy pay payroll to the original owner, because there's testimony that shows that he ate for a full year. So that could be viewed as a full thing, whereas the Echad Begabav, Echad Bekresa can't be. Another case. Amar Rav Yehuda, another case. Echad omer achla chitim, v'echad omer achla se'orim. What if you have two witnesses who come and said the guy ate there for 3 years, but one says he ate chitim, and one said he ate se'orim? Okay, again, remember, eating doesn't mean eating. Eating means he sold the produce. He benefited. Harezo chazaka. This works. So matkef la Rav Nachman elameata. If you're according to what you're saying, you could likewise say then echad omer achla rishona shnia shlishit v'chamishit v'echad omer achla shnia revi'it v'shishit hachana midav yechazaka. If you don't care what's the tochen of what they say, as long as they said he ate for 3 years and you don't care what he ate, then likewise, one could say he ate for years 1, 3, and 5, and one said he could eat for years 2, 4, and 6, and that for sure can't work. So how could you possibly say this? So what does he say? Amar le Rav Yehuda, achi hashti, you're comparing two different things. Hatam b'shata dekamas hibmar, lo kamas hibmar. There, you can't join the two witnesses because one was testifying about a particular time period and the other was testifying about a different time period. But hacha travayu b'chadashata kamasade. But here they were both testifying about the same time period. It's not fully done yet, though. So according to this, my ikalamem are ben chiti lasare. But what about the fact that these guys seem to be testifying about two different things? Lavada tayu de inche. People don't pay attention so much to those details about what exactly he was selling. They might not have noticed whether it was chitim or sorim. So one might have said it was chitim, one might have said it's sorim. That, and this is very interesting, we'll get into this in Sanhedrin, about what kind of details we can assume a person's supposed to pay attention to, right? Because you would think that that would be a detail you should pay attention to. And yet here they're saying, right, in Sanhedrin, this whole thing about they question the witnesses. This is, I think I probably told the story once before. There's a famous story they tell about a test that some kids came to a test and they weren't prepared. And then they, forget the story, but I think they write, you know, they come to the teacher. They say, we went away for the weekend. We got a flat tire. We, you know, we couldn't study. It took our whole day, blah, blah, blah. Can you give us a, you know, a retest? So the teacher says, I'll give you a test right now. Just, you know, he puts them in separate areas and he writes which tire was flat. You know, and obviously they fail. So the question is, right, is that a detail we assume they're going to pay attention to? And if their story doesn't jive, then obviously they're lying. Or is this a detail? And according to this, Rabbi Yehuda assumes the detail about what exactly he was profiting from is not a detail that we expect people to pay attention to. So when we see people, oh, he's been taking the produce from that land, that's enough to say whether their story doesn't jive 100%, that's okay. Okay, so that's where we're going to finish up for today. Tomorrow we're going to get to the whole thing about Hazama, the Edim Zomim.